Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, October 26th. We're back with another great show, Rachel.
Good morning.
You almost gave me a heart attack telling me you'd be late.
Oh my gosh.
You made it.
No, I didn't mean late. Like, I was going to walk in on the show and just like...
Right.
I meant like past, you know, the time that I'm
that they usually
expected
get
to be here.
Right,
yeah, like,
right.
So I got here at 10:30 the other day before Sam.
Yes,
and I was like, I wonder
did.
If he's going to wonder if I'm okay.
You woke up the rooster that morning.
I really did. I that's what I'm saying. Food is what motivates me to get out of bed. And of course, radio and sitting here with you for an hour every day. But I will say this. There was just mad traffic going on in Hollywood as per usual, but extra today.
That's
for whatever.
Fine.
I'm blaming Hamilton.
Well, you live right where all the action is.
I really do.
So you get affected by that.
But all is well. I got my breakfast sandwich, but I had a late night last night, but I woke up rather on time.
Right.
I was at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Hosted the
show. How did
show.
It go? So you had to drive back late, huh?
Well, yeah. Ren and I drove down.
Oh.
And we had a great show. It was almost sold out. That room fits 200 people, and it was like 150, so we were probably like 50 tickets away from selling. It was a great show. So many women in the crowd,
yeah.
Which was awesome because it was great. I got up on stage and I was like, I feel like after the show we're all going to be synced. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I was ovulating just standing there. It was so awesome, though. No, it was great. It was a great show.
So was that another Pretty Funny Women?
Yeah, it was a Pretty Funny Women show. And I mean, Lisa's incredible, and everyone on the show did well, and... It was great to be in a room of all talented female comics. So.
Awesome. You see, and you're getting your face and your name out there and everything, everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Take over Southern California and then the world.
Well, I'm kind of trying to dominate Vegas and Southern California because I can just like dip my, you know, dip in both ponds.
Well, dominate away, you know? I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I think you have what it takes.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, you really
do. I have
do.
At least one person.
Yeah. Well, there's a few. I think there's a few, yeah. So in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guests. We have fascinating guests here like we always do, but they're extra special.
Yeah.
Because they're here today.
Of course.
Exactly. So, and we live for the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Yesterday was fun with Sheena, right?
Yes.
And we talked about politics and God, and not actually mixed them up, but we had like two separate conversations yesterday.
It was enlightening.
And it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. So we always, maybe we'll put our today's guests through the same questions. We'll see if they feel like it.
Yeah.
If we have any time, because they're creating some amazing things.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So I'm excited about they're launching this most advanced stealth submarine. Have you heard about that one?
I have not.
Yeah. It's called the U.S. South Dakota, and it's supposedly the most advanced in the world. And the reason it's important, because apparently the Russians and the Chinese have been taking some lead with their developments as far as that goes. And, you know, submarines are like so strategic in war.
Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Germans in World War II caused a lot of damage with their submarines. Mm. A lot. And nobody could, like, even figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
You know. So that's a good thing. At least we'll be stronger, you know, even if we are going to hell in a handbasket.
Right. We just need more
war
machines.
Yeah, we'll have more weapons.
We'll just put more war machines.
Yeah, there you go. So...
Transformers, even. Why don't we just start building real life Transformers? You know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know. Did you ever see the Transformers film?
I did.
Any of them?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I can only handle one.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I'm like, I can't imagine seeing a movie about toys.
Interesting,
you know?
But I get underwhelmed after. I'm like, okay, I'm seeing the same image repeated. You know, just
right. No,
action is cool, but I like story. I like meaning.
Yeah, this is for kids. You know, I mean, you gotta admit. You know, although adults went to see it.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's based on toys, for crying out loud. But you know, apparently the Lego movies are doing really well.
Oh my God,
wow.
Lego movies are awesome.
Really?
I love them.
I've never seen one.
Oh my gosh, go see Lego Movie.
Really?
Yeah, and the Batman one too is really great. Thing is about the Lego Movie, it has all that animation and the action, but it was like Will Ferrell's in it, and like there's like a great story. Right. And all the characters are so funny, and they're all really great actors and comedians who play the voices. So.
Yeah, that's true. I should be watching this because it's computer animated, the whole thing, right? Yeah,
so
yeah.
Good.
I know. It's so amazing to see all these things, you know, because I got into computer animation in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Nobody else was doing it except like Pixar's and all these places. But to do it on a Mac at home, nobody was doing
1990
it.
1990 seems like another planet.
Right?
Like,
right?
I feel like 1990 was a different planet.
Yeah.
You know, like
freaking 27 years ago, you know. Yeah. So that's a long time.
You know.
But what are you going to do? You know, I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So at any rate, so I was getting into computer animation then, but everything looked like Legos, like
right.
plastic and stuff.
Putt-putt.
Right. And today everything looks like, well, Putt-Putt wasn't 3D. It was really traditional 2D
yeah.
animation, but I mean like 3D animation, like you see
in
Pixar.
The beginning. Right,
and,
right.
And today, I mean, all the special effects are 3D animation,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's amazing. So, so I always like to go see these movies and check them out and stuff. So I will see the Lego movie. Okay. How many have there been? A few?
I think there's two of those, and they did the Batman spinoff or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll probably want to play Lego all the time, huh?
Yeah, or just go to Legoland.
Yeah. Legoland is amazing.
It's fun.
I went there only once when they just opened it,
mm-hmm.
but I hear it's getting better all the time.
Oh, I love it.
Did you see like all the sculptures or statues they made?
I definitely did. And I took so many edibles before. It was incredible. It was
Well, then you're in Toyland. There
yeah.
you go, you know.
It was
Rachel in Toyland.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
right. Highly recommend that.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, I wanted to talk about the H.W. Bush thing. Right. I think Sheila brought it up yesterday or something.
The actress who Heather Lind was in one of my ex-boyfriend's films. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. And I think it's brave that she told her story. I mean, they're not denying it happened, but that's a culture that's,
yeah.
This is a culture that's that exists in our society. That
right. That he's
that,
still in his wheelchair. And
right.
He's,
and
you
that
know,
men who.
He's going to touch a woman in a
when you get to a certain age, that just because you're 90, that excuses you from doing terrible things. Whereas if you're 90 and you kill someone, we'll still prosecute you for a crime. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't.
Right.
And even so, it's just. But there's another woman who came forward today or yesterday, too. The second one about him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, we had one actor here. I don't want to mention his name. He's also much older now.
Yeah.
He's an old man with a cane. But he was here and took some pictures after the show. And he's pretty very known.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Took a pictures after the show. And he was like... like pinching the woman's butt next to him as though it's just funny and a joke. And they were joking about it and stuff. But I thought... She can't possibly feel comfortable
no.
with that, you know? I didn't feel comfortable
right.
with it.
Did she say
taking
anything
their
to
picture.
You?
No, I didn't even know her. She was just another guest.
Well, let's just hope that doesn't happen with any of our guests with me. That would be
no, no.
That's horrible.
No, that doesn't... I mean, no, that's not... I'm just saying I think it's Hollywood, and especially older Hollywood, when nobody would speak up back then, you know? So... who knows?
It's
how
not
many
just Hollywood.
That, you know?
Like I've seen it.
Well,
you
of
know,
course not.
Like when I played sports growing up, right?
Right.
And there's a culture even within sports, like coaches will hit the players' butts. You know, like good job. Like it's
right.
not meant to be sexual, but like people aren't always comfortable with that. They weren't. They're not. They didn't grow up with that,
right.
or they didn't. They don't like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it just exists in every you know in industry.
Yeah.
I just think that. Right now, Hollywood seems to be have the spotlight because those are the people that have the power and the voice.
Right, and they feel powerful. And
right,
you know,
but this exists in every in any industry. In the restaurant
right.
industry, oh my God, I was like sexually harassed by this one guy at a restaurant in Beverly Hills who worked. He was just a kitchen dude, you know, and he would just you know like to rub up against me because it's tight quarters, and he knew where to stand when the
wow.
female you know servers
yeah,
would be walking back.
How uncomfortable is that?
Yeah,
huh?
But it's just like
yeah. I know. Well, it's good that it's coming out now and here because, you know, they try to tell us it only happens in other places, but apparently not.
No,
it
happens
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guests right now who are sitting here patiently dying to talk, I know. They don't seem like the quiet kind, but get to the microphones, please. We're joined by Tasca Musk and Gina Panebianco. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Very beautiful ladies joining us today. You guys will be amazed to find out what you guys have started. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's tell us briefly exactly. You guys started this. When did you start this?
Well, we started the platform itself launched on September 1.
Oh, okay. So
what is the platform? Introduce it.
Yeah, yeah.
We built a platform called PassionFlix, which is an OTT platform, which is sort of like a Netflix for women.
Right.
That focuses on love, passion, romance, and happy endings. And
novels into movies and series, and have a lot of licensed content of all your favorite movies.
Oh,
wow.
Amazing.
So you guys are not only streaming movies, but you're creating them as well?
Yes.
You're producing your own content.
Like the paperbacks my mom had a whole library of, with like the really beautiful people in the front and like suggestive.
Fabio?
Yeah.
Fabio and the rest, yes.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, right.
We'll take anything. I mean, the thing is that romance novels are anything from 50 Shades of Grey to Twilight.
Right.
Twilight's a romance novel,
right,
too.
Right, yeah. So you take the novels and you make movies out of them, right?
We do.
Now, obviously, you have to go and get permission from the creators and everything.
From the authors,
Right. So that would be quite an expense, too, right? I mean, for you guys to
making
do
making movies is not cheap.
No, it's not, right? But you undertook the task, and we'll find out how you all got to it and everything.
Yeah.
But you guys can follow us. Just go to PassionFlix with an X.com. And this is Netflix for the loving section of our society, right?
Exactly. When is Netflix going to acquire you guys?
Eventually, probably.
Right?
Well, they just came out. Yeah, give them a chance. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been at it for about a year and a half. So it obviously took a while to build the platform, the technology.
Have they given you a problem with the name, like the name PassionFlix at all?
No.
Because it's like, that's so cool.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that's, I don't think it's going to confuse anybody.
I have Olivia, her platform for her medium for her cannabis content is BudFeed.
Right.
And we changed it to the Bud because of BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed, really? Did they complain?
It was a question of marketing. Yeah. But the Daily High Club had to change their name to Dollar High Club because of Daily Shave Club. You know what I mean?
There's Dollar Shave Club.
Dollar Shave Club or whatever. Yeah. So I just had a question from a marketing branding standpoint.
Yeah. Right, well, but I'm sure you cleared it beforehand.
There's a big difference between the word net and passion.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I was just wondering. Yeah, I didn't know if Flix was like somehow.
Well, they have movie Flix.
Yeah,
Flix is just another word for film.
They can't copy or own that.
Yeah,
right.
Just like,
that's cool. Well, that's cool. Enough with the name now.
I'm just saying that's a smart for branding, because I went to school for marketing, so I was acknowledged. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm from New Jersey, so I have my whole Italian family waiting at our office. They won't let any, they'll knock them out.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God, amazing. Yeah, no. That's
security
cool.
Guards.
Yeah. I'm always curious about stuff like that, so yeah.
Very cool. So this is aimed mostly at women, I would imagine, right? Which, like the romance novels are. That's why they put the Fabios on the cover, because for me, Fabio wouldn't do much if I saw him on the cover of a book. But by the way, we do have a picture of him here. He's been to the States a couple times.
Fabio's been around a very long time.
Right?
I would say he wouldn't do much for me, more my mom at this point.
We created the platform because there was no specific place for women to watch positive content about women.
That's true.
Most of
there
the content that we have for women tends to skew us in a very negative way, right? We are women in jeopardy, or something's wrong with us, or it's domestication of women. You know, we're going to go back to our small town and
or a lot of violence against women.
I woke up and saw
violence against women.
Right? I saw Reese Witherspoon, like her speech from Woman of the Year Award. Did you watch her? Oh my God! It's exactly what you were saying. It was saying most women, how they're portrayed in film, is like a what do we do now? Helpless.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why she created her company to, highlight women in film. And then she started producing, Big Little Lies, Gone Girl, and that's exactly what they were saying.
I love Big Little Lies.
Yeah. so yeah. cool. I mean, no, that's true.
You know, definitely. But you guys are focusing on actual novels that have been written, right?
Yes.
So you have a built-in audience
yes.
for each one of these stories.
Yeah, we take best-selling romance novels and we turn them into movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And we always look at what the, you know, obviously what the story is, who the characters are, how it might move you in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Make you feel good.
Now, these films are how long? Are they full feature films?
Yeah.
Really?
So the first one we did was 2 hours. This next one is 90 minutes. The next one's going to be 93 minutes.
Wow.
We're about to make another one. We got the script yesterday. It was 169 pages, which if you know anything in the film world, that's like a 3-hour film. And we're like, no. I like the book. The book's great. We like to keep every scene in there, but we're not making a 3-hour movie.
Do you guys just do movies or do you do shows too?
We'll do series.
We'll do series and shorts. The great thing about having the OTT platform is there's no mandate for what the content mm-hmm. length can be. You can have it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it dictates.
Right. Or 3 hours.
Or three.
What's this OTT platform? You guys mentioned it a couple
over
times.
The top.
Yeah. It's like a streaming platform, so you avoid the box. You avoid the cable box.
So anything it's called over the top?
Yeah.
Oh. And there's a lot less restrictions as far as
it's like a
everything.
Netflix, Amazon, basically.
Hulu. Right. So that's like the generic name for it.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
got
we
it.
Didn't know.
I never heard
that.
It.
Neither did we.
Wow. And I'm streaming all the freaking time, so I don't know what to tell you. But there we go. We learned a new concept today. And so you guys obviously have had to have some background in film. Would that be correct to say?
Yeah. All three of us. We have a third partner as well, Joni Kane.
Right.
And she's a writer. Her shows have been Emmy nominated. Gina and I have both produced. I've directed a lot for different networks.
Really?
Yeah.
So you started that. And you see, there we go again, you know, with the situation where people actually, rather than running after jobs and parts and stuff, you decide to do your own.
Yeah,
and
well,
you create your own, right?
Yeah.
Today you have to because there's just so much competition, you know. It's like everybody's like a me too, you know. Yeah, I'll fill that part. But you guys actually decided we're going to create our own and not wait for somebody to see us and find us.
Yes, and also I have to say that this is probably the most fulfilling work that we've ever done. So I can't actually remember what we did before and how we liked it, because what we're doing now feels so fulfilling. Like we've found our platform, found our place.
We always say it's like Christmas every day.
It is. It's amazing because we get to tell these really positive, awesome stories. Every one of our movies has a happy ending or hopeful ending.
Right.
So we're always, so it could be any kind of story from paranormal to historical to contemporary. But we just know that at the end, there's going to be this happy, fulfilling ending.
So it's a cheerful thing. I mean, people go into here and they sort of go into fantasy land or something, because how many happy endings do we have in life?
I hope we can create more happy endings with
this content. And it is tough, especially in this time, in the climate of the world. You know, everything you even see is, you know, death or destruction or
violence, a lot of violence,
rape.
A lot.
It's tough to watch.
We need to have more hope in the world, and so media does affect what people think and feel and how they can react. And so, if we can show more content that's positive and how people communicate, because all of our shows are about communication. So love is about communication. If you want to have a strong relationship with somebody, you have to communicate.
Yeah, that's true.
And so everything is about communication, how a man touches a woman, how a woman touches a man, how you speak to each other when you're in conflict, how do you resolve that conflict.
Right. Sounds a lot like a woman's perspective to me.
Yes, isn't it?
Right?
It's all done by the female. Yeah,
well, I was just thinking, I'm like, what movie that a female had, what the only movie I can think of that a female has played a lead in the last like couple years is Wonder Woman that I can think of, and that's
perfect.
About destruction. And like, you know what I mean? And even though it's a positive movie, it's a woman who's, but again,
but
it's about
violence and war. And,
right.
You know, and
that's cool that they're, you know, she's a female
hero.
But she inspires hope. Which is why it was, I mean, it was a great success, and obviously I love that movie.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And so she came from an isolated world and then came out into the real world and saw all this destruction, but kept fighting for hope, and instilling hope until eventually hope won, and there's peace. Right. And yeah. and she had such a big effect on it. And that's a beautiful story mm-hmm. to see. So you're not like, okay, great. Hope won. Love. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's what we really want to get across.
That's yeah. true, right. So these are like almost perfect worlds, right? I mean, but don't you have to have conflicts and
yeah,
stories?
Yeah, no, they're not perfect worlds.
Actually, they're not, just happy endings,
love
you
is in everything about love is imperfect. Everything about right. relationships. And you really have to decide what you want to put into it, how you want to fight for something, you know, being the female or the male perspective, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
really. So they're typically these people that come together. Maybe they're, you know, these broken souls that have given up on love or don't believe in love. And, you know, one of the things that I always love to say about romance and love is there's a common thread. You're just like food. You know, you can talk to anyone about food. Doesn't matter where what walk of life you come from. If you like a donut or Dunkin' Donuts,
right.
you're going to love it. But
and they can relate.
Exactly. But love is, it's a common thread. Everyone either wants to be in love, has been in love, has been hurt by love, wants to believe that that can happen for them.
That's
but you have
true.
To fight for it.
That's
yeah.
true. But
yeah.
there's always conflict.
There is.
Right. But you focus, obviously, less on visual action and more on drama and conversation and relationships, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, each one of these movies has their own specific plot as
right.
well.
Right, circumstances. Right.
So definitely okay. there's action in there. But yes, I mean, at the end of the day, we want to focus on how two people who have met, who might be attracted to each other, are not necessarily wanting to be together, and then there's conflict and they're fighting, and then they're like, should we be together, should we not, we're back, we're out,
yeah,
we're
yeah,
in, we're
yeah.
out, we're, now we're attracted to each other, now we're not, now
right.
I'm angry at you, now you did something at work, now you pissed off my friend, or whatever it is, and then suddenly they realize that they actually do like to be together. In order for them to continue a relationship, they have to come back together
right.
and communicate, and then they can move forward to the next conflict.
Right.
Because, yes, while we end with a happy ending, I mean, life continues after
there's
life
always
that
part
2 hours.
Right.
There's
it's
always
like the
second.
The movie, the one we have coming up November 3rd that's premiering Sylvia Day's After Burn Aftershock. And it's, you know, this couple that has been together, spent these really intense 5 weeks together, and then, you know, he loses touch with her. And
For two years.
But in the course of this, it needed to happen for her to find her own voice, you know, become the woman that she becomes when he sees her again unexpectedly. You know, she sort of tries to fend him off, but realizes, obviously, her heart is still in love with him, and she realizes, hey, this is a good guy, and he
wow,
yeah,
wow.
but it's
they
still
have to
conflict.
Fight. Oh, major conflict to fight for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you see, that's amazing to me because I don't know guys that actually think that way or think about these things that much.
I was going
to
say, these romance novels are obviously mainly written by women.
Because
right.
there are a lot
for
of them
women.
That are written by men. But the thing is, even the story that Gina just mentioned, that is not an unrealistic story.
Yeah.
There
right,
are many.
That's
right.
what I was
going
to say.
I mean,
that's why
these
I feel like people, right. especially yeah. women, gravitate towards this because they've been in these relationships.
Yeah.
So
right.
it does. These things do happen. You
yeah.
know, like
right.
that's why they're so
yeah.
relatable. And I think
you do have intense affairs and then lose touch with the person who
yeah.
hurts you or you dump
right.
them for yeah. a year or two, whatever. And then suddenly you meet up again at a party or at a different event. Mm. And maybe it rekindles. And now you're like, hang on, there was a conflict before. How do we resolve that conflict that broke us
yeah.
up 2 years ago?
Right.
And do we want to? And then you have to decide whether or not that relationship is something you want.
But that's
yeah.
why
that's
I was asking. Well, I had that was yeah. my question before Sam said something because I was like, I just feel like it would be so interesting if it would make sense if a lot of women wrote, you know, great romance novels. Not that men can't, but there's so much dialogue and thought from a woman's perspective.
Yeah,
I would
yeah,
think it would be
sure.
challenging for a man to write a romance novel from a woman's perspective.
Right, but they
I don't,
do,
oh,
right?
Yeah, I don't know about the women's perspective.
Or not women,
yeah.
but does that even happen? Because do women write from a male's I feel like,
yes.
don't they write from male's
they,
perspectives?
They do.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so. Like 50 Shades, for example.
Right,
we
yeah.
were talking about that one, you know.
But
she
I
w-
and then
out,
I'm wondering if...
But,
if women, if readers can tell, you know, is it...
Well, what about Nicholas Sparks? I mean, he actually
yeah.
writes so well, and he writes from a male perspective, but also a female perspective.
Right.
Right.
He does it really
no, when,
well.
No, when you're a writer, when you're a good writer, you
yeah.
can you can
yeah.
do it. You
and
know?
You have to research
because,
it. And
right.
if it takes, you know, communication
right.
with women from a man's perspective
right.
to say, well, how would you feel? What
right.
would you do differently?
Mm-hmm. So
right,
yeah.
that's true, yeah. You know, one thing I also noticed about Hollywood movies a lot is they take, like, it's the the character or the woman is always younger and looking perfect and all this, and she has Tom Cruise who's twice her age, right? So, but it's fine there in the movie, and but people frown upon that in real life. So, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, you know, because it is a double standard, and it always has been. And I actually, I'd like to believe that it will change, because we both know people that are married, their husbands are younger, or boyfriends, and, you know, but for some reason, there's still that stigmatism about an older woman.
Well, you're seeing it through. Let's do a romance where the woman is 20 years older than the man.
You know,
shows like Girls. And the movie, like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I mean, these main characters by tradition, I mean, I think they're beautiful because of transcending their physical beauty. But they're very talented women, but wouldn't be seen as beautiful or hot by traditional standards. So I think when in movies like that, remember when they made Renee Zellweger gain weight, you know, just to play Bridget Jones so the character could be more relatable. She's still
love that movie.
Right. You know? So great.
So, I mean, I think that there is a little bit of that moving towards, but still every other female character in the movie. Yeah. Right. In the show, Girls, was beautiful. You know what
true.
I mean?
Yeah.
But it is clearly, you know, in Hollywood, clearly it's being made by men, because, you know, it's like Tom Cruise never has a woman his age in the movie, right? So what I'm saying is these are male fantasies, and you guys give us the female perspective.
That's exactly right. This is the flip side of it. Yeah. Our cast, our talent needs to be the same age as what's in the book, right?
Right.
So we cast according to the book, and we have a wonderful book that we're going to be doing called The Will by Kristen Ashley. She's arguably one of the top romance novelists
Fantastic
in the world.
Writer.
She's such an amazing woman as well. And the female character's 45. She's written as 45. The male character, I think, is
even older. Yeah, but in the 50s. Yeah.
55.
Yeah.
He has 3 children. So we're so excited to be able to do
that.
Something with. I mean, it just opens up the door so much to all the incredible talent.
I love, like, Something's Got to Give, like Diane.
Oh my God!
Some of the best mother, stepmother, like some of these movies have.
Give, and it's complicated. I mean, hundreds, and The Holiday, which we have on our plate, you know, hundreds of times. It doesn't matter. I can watch that movie in the middle, at the end, the beginning, and it's always brand new. I'm like, oh, look what happened.
It's so good.
So it's cool, and you guys get to be involved in film and everything. Tell us a little bit about the background, and then we'll come back to this and everything. But and by the way, folks, we're talking to Tosca and Gina, who are from the streaming service called Passion Flicks. And you can go to passionflicks.com and check it out. It's a beautiful website. It shows you some of the movies, the books that the movies are based on. And, you know, but what I'm thinking is that the bottom line is you have original content.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is stuff you can't get anywhere else.
Right. No, that's true. Really cool.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, when we first started the platform, and we were going out to do our raise, right? So much like all the Silicon Valley companies, you go out, you do your series seed raise, which as filmmakers was like, oh, okay, you don't raise money for a movie, you go and raise money for a bunch of movies and a platform and all these things. And we were told by so many people, you can't do both licensed content and original content. You have to choose. We're like, why? why do we have to choose? Right. No. You can only do one. You can't do both.
Those were typically white men in suits.
I was going to say, where's the message coming from?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. A lot of white men in suits. And then they did suggest that we do something kind of like Maxim magazine. We're like, again, not quite what we're doing.
Yeah, that's
short form content like Maxim magazine short form.
T, remember the one funny story? We go into this very large bank to try to look, you know, to see if we can kind of merge and get some funding. And this man, very nice man, sat across from Joni, Tosca, and I, and he started to sweat, you know, and he said, I'm sorry, I've never sat across from 3 women, you know, for business.
It's really overwhelming. Like, are you kidding me? We have to sit here in front of, like, normally we go into pitch meetings and we'd be like, myself and Gina, and sometimes Joni as well, and it would be us and 6 white men in suits.
Yeah.
And we just have to sit there while they tell us that we can't do anything because we're
the magic word.
Oh, you're like, it's like soap operas. So you're going to the catfighting. No, we don't do catfighting. Women like each other.
I love this. I love powerful women, strong women challenging the status quo. I mean, you just got to keep pushing, you know?
Yeah. And then we got some great supporters that came on board. And the whole mandate was, let's do licensed content, or specifically curated content that we can get from the studios. And the studios have been really wonderful to deal with. And we've
of course, you're providing them a platform in which they probably never had to, like,
for this particular content.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's been sitting on their shelves, I guess. And so we were able to license it, which is great. And then we started producing our first original in March this year. We released it on September 20th and with like overwhelming support.
Beautiful.
Which is great.
Yeah.
The next one comes out November 3rd. Another one comes out December 4th-ish.
It's a Christmas movie, Trouble with Mistletoe, Jill Chalvis. Yeah. She's amazing.
Then wow, sounds cool.
A secret surprise for our fans around Christmas.
See, now I'm curious to watch these things.
Good. You know, I think this is going to be
That's
huge.
Actually they something that I wanted to mention. So initially, we made this platform for women because we're like, there's no place for women. But as we get to do it, as we continue to make these movies, and honestly, the male actors that have been in our movies have said how much we've influenced their lives, their relationships
with women
have changed.
Yes.
They feel that they're better men after working on our movies. And we're like, this is fantastic. Yeah.
Would you say your demographic, like your age demographic is?
Well, we like to say 18 to 80, but basically, you know, it is really, I mean,
yeah.
30,
you're not focusing on age as much as really on gender here, right? I mean,
no age, I'm just going to say age does for like, first, I'm 30 and I would consider myself a millennial. So for me, there obviously is going to be content to my age group and to that 18, there has to be because they're going to capture me young so that I'm like a dedicated follower up until I'm 80.
And that's
a lot
of the new adult books, and there's some great authors that we're working with. And there is that, 18 to 25, and then you've got, your 35 to 55 or 60. But we went to this, I don't know if you know this romance novel bookstore, Ripped Bodice. It's in Culver City. It's
so great.
Owned by these two sisters. They're fantastic. You should check it out if you're a romance fan. And we went in for the first time. And
when they opened,
it was their grand opening a couple of years ago. And there were women there, our age, younger, and there were women in their 70s and 80s going, Margaret, grab that book off the shelf. And they did. And filling up their baskets.
And posing with a cutout with Fabio. A cutout
exactly.
of Fabio.
Wow, yeah.
That's hilarious.
I mean, because I grew up watching Lifetime. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Those short form content. Yeah.
Lifetime,
your
movies
television
on.
By the way, we made a lot of those
Lots
movies.
Lots of movies. Lifetime, Hallmark, Ion.
Yeah. Down.
Very grateful for those.
So basically, you grew up on our content.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like you're capturing me young.
You and my stepdad. I swear to God, my stepdad sits there. My mother finally had to get him wireless headsets because she said to him, Gil, for Christ's sake, you've seen this one 6 times. No, I haven't.
Dude,
no, you
have you watched any Lifetime movie?
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my gosh. No. Some of the best content there is from my childhood.
Very cool.
Seriously.
But Hallmark, too, they can
Hallmark
be very
Hallmark was a little
formulaic.
More too wholesome for me.
Yeah.
I like the messed up stuff. The psycho, crazy.
But they're all the same. It's almost like when the house is haunted. Oh, just get out. It's haunted you. But no, they're going to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such great.
I don't know. I mean, I think the most I've read into something like this is like a Jackie Collins novel, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of like relationships and things like that that go on there that really male dominated. Like I just read Origin, for example, but that's not really a novel. But at the same time, it doesn't focus on really relationships. You know what I'm saying? So the books I read are more like techno thrillers, things like that. So, so I don't think about relationships the way you guys do.
Are there women in your techno thrillers?
What's that?
Are there women in the techno thrillers?
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
And
they're powerful. They're lead
forget about the power side of it, but if there are women in it, and the male is the lead,
and
generally
but
speaking, there's
like,
some driving force of romance that's involved.
Right.
There right. Too,
no,
right?
That's true, yeah. But
so there's romance in those ones, too.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Not,
we can turn anyone.
It's not the dominant part of the story.
It's almost
a driving force.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you could, exactly, like, if it was there, or not, it wouldn't have
The ending is not like her being swept away by her prince or something. I don't know.
But even Jackie Collins, you know, she there were a lot of inner catfighting and a lot of those.
Right,
but some stories end happily.
Right. And it's not just about the ending. I'm just thinking that, I don't know, she keeps the stories going very fast. It's like a it's like a movie almost, right?
Yeah,
she doesn't really.
Brilliant.
But yeah, I mean, she captured me, and that's why sometimes people would laugh at me. You read Jackie Collins? Well, yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying. It's like we categorize people and what they like and what they read.
You should read Danielle Steele's new book, Fairy Tale. I just finished it on Audible.
I could definitely see Sam reading a book.
It's modern, modern day Cinderella.
What the hell? I read everything.
Read
I might
it.
As well. Right?
It's
I'm gonna come in. Whoever's taking your picture.
It's Michelle. It's our PR.
Oh, okay. Well,
hi,
she should
Michelle.
Come in. When you see her, just wait for her to come in. I mean, she might
she's
as well.
She's on the phone.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She's like this. Yeah.
She's still
she's
got
telling
about
her husband how
minutes.
Much she loves him. Mm-hmm. Passion play.
There you
her
go.
Her husband, who, saying? By the way, is also a cover model for a lot of romance novel books.
What?
Yeah.
She's
married
there's
to a perfect
Obama.
Example of... a beautiful woman.
That's actually
a
fun. That would be like a story. That would be a good script there.
Married
someone
to
married to a romance novel.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like a romance novel wrapped in a romance novel.
Yeah.
like it's an inception.
Everyone, a nice bow.
Yeah, it was like
every
inception.
Woman's dream. There you go. Wow. The site is Passion Flicks, folks, and that's with an X at the end, and you can check out all the... How many films have you made so far? You just introduced
three.
The site, so you have three movies.
Mm-hmm.
People can get into them right away, and I see it's very affordable, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how people can watch this.
Sure.
Well, you can come onto the platform online and passionflicks.com. It's $5.99 a month.
That's all?
Yeah, that's all.
Wow.
That's all.
I'm telling you, this is for movies you've never seen before. I mean, that's amazing.
It's nice
to
read a book and know that you can see the movie come to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Then you have at least a new movie every month, it sounds
every 2
like.
Months.
Every 2 months.
Yeah, right. This year we have them September, November, and December, and then it'll be every 2 months after that.
Wow. So how long does it take to make an average film like this?
5 months.
You.
Yeah.
Four
to 5 months, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to turn them around pretty quickly. I mean, we
you
could
do.
Actually turn them... We have turned movies around quicker than that. But we really want to take our time, and it's important to, you know, visually see it look
where
lovely
do you mainly
in the music.
Shoot? Here?
It just depends, really. We've shot here. We try to go to tax incentive states. It's great to give, you know, work to other states. It was actually great to go to Georgia for March and April for Hollywood Dirt. Alexandra Torrey, she's a great author. It was, you know, these people were excited in Augusta, Georgia, especially to work to have the work there. It was nice.
Yeah, they were
good
very
people.
Supportive team. People.
Madison as well,
a lot of fun. But we would. I mean, obviously, we would love to stay here in Los Angeles and shoot as many as we can here. It's certainly easier, but they don't make it easy on the tax incentive.
Yeah.
They make it actually very difficult for.
That's why they shot all the vampire stuff. Diaries, I think,
in Georgia.
North Carolina or something.
Georgia.
Yeah, it's like but cheaper to...
North
yeah,
Carolina
shows
just got...
they've done that, started. You know? I know for a fact. I mean, The X-Files was shot in Canada mostly.
It was.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I know. And that's why... That's the big complaint is California almost is driving away the movie industry.
They absolutely...
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, we've actually been the recipient of the California tax credit on a number of different films in the past, which was great.
Oh.
So we were very fortunate in that way. In fact, at one point we were awarded three different movies were awarded the lottery, and we got a call from them saying you should have bought a lottery ticket.
Wow. So you need to have some luck on your side as well.
But that was a couple of years ago, and then they changed how things are with the tax credit here, and it mainly focuses, and I understand their point, it mainly focuses on trying to keep higher budget films in California as opposed to the lower budget independent films.
But it is tough because, as Tosca said, we would love to stay here. It's nice to work in your own, God bless you, in your own backyard. But again, it's also nice to go to a tax incentive state and really change up the environment. We try to, with these books, stay as close to the book and the locations as possible. We're shooting this beautiful movie, Brenda Jackson, Brother's Honor, and that takes place in Virginia in the mountains. We'll shoot that there.
Wow.
You know, they do have a tax incentive, but we will shoot it there. And we try to stay. Kristen Ashley's will you know, stay true to that.
Yeah, that's in Maine.
In Rhode Island. Yeah. Maine, Rhode Island area somewhere.
New England. Yeah,
New England area.
Wow. So a little bit about you. Usually it's like we start with the background of the guest. Here we go backwards.
No, I'm glad you start. I like it when we start with this too, because it's like if...
Yeah, because now we introduced it and stuff because they really hear more about the platform than about themselves. Yeah. But let's... So, Tosca, you first, when did you start getting into film? I mean, obviously you were doing this before.
Yeah.
You were into film before you got into this.
Yeah, I mean, I started when I was 18 and then at a company called Alliance Atlantis in Canada. Uh-huh. And then every year went to, you know, I was at university and every summer I would come back and work for them. And then when I graduated, I continued to work with them. And I was a very young director of development in Los Angeles at like 22 with a full picture deal with... which was pretty cool.
Really and, nice. How and then long went ago off to did you move to LA? How long have you been here already?
So now about 16 years.
Oh, okay. So this is home for you now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And what about you, Gina?
I'm from, you know, I was in New Jersey and went to film school and Center for the Media Arts and just knew that I was always going to do something film TV related. And then I was in banking when I was really young at 18, and I was 19. I was the youngest branch manager of the bank.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, hey, this is fun. I can do this. I'm just writing loans for people. Yeah, yes, I like you. You're very nice.
Working with money. Maybe
here's
some of this will rub up.
Yeah,
but I
really enjoyed working with numbers and working with people. And then so I kind of went to film school a little bit later. You know, I was at the bank for about 5.5 years and then went to school and then worked at Comedy Central. I did stand-up comedy, actually, for a couple of years in New York City. It was great. I loved it. It was like making people laugh. And then I moved out to L.A. I've been here 19, I think February was 19 years.
Oh, wow. So you guys are definitely Angelenos.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
This is where, so you know your element here when you got started with this. Did you guys already have connections and things like this? Like,
well, we've made, our partner, with Joni, Gina, and I have made about 60 movies and series before we even started Passion.
How many?
60.
Wow.
But it is difficult.
The three of you.
You know, it's funny how people always say, wow, you know, when you see someone have any kind of success or doing anything, wow, that good for you. No,
right,
man, we've been at this for a long
time.
Exactly.
It looks easy, like
hard.
Overnight.
She ran a production company that, you know, cranked out a lot of, you know, Lifetime. Eight movies a year. And I ran, worked for Ricky Schroeder Productions and made Hallmark movies for him and, you know, U.S. Army reality shows and stuff. See, we've been around for a long time.
Cool. Yeah, very cool. How did you guys come up with the idea? Was it a mutual thing or did one of the three of you think of it first?
It's actually our third partner, Joni Kane. She is, we call her the sort of Rain Man of romance.
The Rain Man of romance.
She knows everything about romance, and she watched one of the movies that Gina and I made. Gina produced it. I direct a movie called You Cast a Spell on Me, and she contacted us the next day and said, hey, I love your work. Can you read my script? And we're like, who is this person?
we're like, oh, we got to read another script, darn it.
So I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. So I started reading. I was like, oh my God, she can really write. This person can write. I like this person.
Right.
Gina, read. Uh-huh. And anyway, so then we couldn't get that one sold to the network because it was dealing with magic, and sometimes networks don't go a lot with go along
like,
with magic.
Oh my goodness, magic?
Yeah.
Oh. Here, Violence
magic.
Against Women.
This Rigo.
Is a great movie.
Yeah. And so we met up for lunch when she came to LA, and over tuna fish sandwiches she told us, mm-hmm. I actually have this idea. I want to do a...
She barely finished a sentence. We're like, yes.
Yeah. Like, how about we create this Netflix for women?
Joni, this is a shout out to you over the tuna sandwiches. We always talk about that.
Yeah. Tuna brings people together.
Tuna
it
does. It's the Broadway cafe in Santa Monica.
Delicious.
And and she said, let's turn romance novels into movies. And Gina and I were like, I love this. This is great. Let's do it. Finally, somebody's speaking
to us. We can
make
this a business.
And how did you guys meet, the two of you?
Oh, God.
a long time ago?
A mutual. She had a manager at the time, Carmen Benici, in Canada, and I knew Carmen. And I was looking for a line producer for the first movie I was producing. I raised $500,000 for this movie, shooting on film, of course, back then.
Wow.
And she's like, you have to meet Tosca. Tosca's great. You guys are really going to connect. Anyway, we sat at Novel Cafe, remember?
Yeah.
And she was running around like a crazy person, finishing producing some movie that...
In New Mexico.
In New Mexico with a bunch of, you know, criminals running around. That's how New Mexico was back then, make a movie. But we connected right away. And at first she said, I wish I could do your movie. I just can't. Timing. And then the line producer we had was a flake. And I was like, are you available? She's like, I am. I'll stay. She was going to go back to Canada and
perfect.
Stayed. And That was 13 yeah. years?
Something like that.
Oh, cool. We've known each other a long time.
And you've
time.
Been good friends, close friends?
Yeah. We've made a number of movies together ever since.
Wow. That's right. Very close friends. Cool. And partners.
So you were like destined to meet each other and stuff. Yeah.
Now, Can't get rid of me.
With all this work and stuff, do you guys find time for, do you have families, kids, anything? So you got
the,
you've got the whole shebang and stuff. You still find time and creativity to do all this, huh?
Well, Superwomen. I mean, the kids go to sleep at 7.
Yeah, yeah, but
after 7.
Yeah. It's usually for Tosca. We have to, you know, take calls. Okay, anything after, you know, 7:30 now, because her kids are, they're on to it. They're like, 7? I'm not going to bed at 7. Are you kidding me? And I have I am going to be adopting a child at the end of the year.
So. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so... So it's, you know, it's, you juggle it. It's like, you know, you want to have,
But we also have a very open relationship with all women who work for us and children. We encourage them to bring them to work. So if you have kids, bring them to work. Don't not come to work because you have to look after your kid. If your kid has to stay home from school or the school's off that day, Bring your kids to work. Great.
Let's just have
them there. I bring my kids to work.
Makes sense.
And also, I think it's really great for your kids to see where you work and what you do and be involved and not feel completely separated from you for 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day.
But that depends how old they are, right? I mean, you don't want a kid to distract you. 4?
My kids are 4.
Oh, wow.
Twins.
And they can busy themselves
to Georgia. I mean, of course, it's if they're, it's you know, on set, it's definitely distracting or if things are happening.
Right.
But here's the thing, you know, and being a woman as well, you have to be able to, you know, maintain relationships with your kids, relationships if you're, you know, in a relationship with man or woman. And, you know, those things shouldn't suffer either. You should be able to have a full life, you know,
and
travel
still,
if you
and
want
and still
it.
Run a company.
And still run
make a
company.
A movie.
Why not?
Creative. Absolutely.
And you do it, you know, and if you're married, you plan a trip, go, oh, I'm going to be away for 6 weeks, come visit here, do that. My boyfriend just left today for Nashville. He's a private chef and he's starting a new job, but it's like, okay, maybe we'll shoot a movie out there. It's a great tax credit.
That's so cool.
So, I mean, you know, or whatever.
You so he's children. Moving. What are you guys going to do then? He's moving there and you staying here?
Yeah. He just left this morning. Florida-Georgia line. You know that country western? Yeah.
So you're going to have a long-distance relationship now? Wow. Have you ever done one before?
Long distance? No,
it's
actually
frustrating. I hope you'll I hope you'll weather this, because let me tell you, when you can't be with that person, all you can do is talk. And when you talk too much, sometimes you get into trouble.
Listen, I talk too much anyway.
Yeah, but
what
you
about
get
FaceTime,
trouble?
Though? You
FaceTime? I went away for 10 days. My boyfriend and I FaceTimed. We're tight, you know.
Well, he has a daughter here, so he'll be back.
Right.
He's not. He's just like, bye, you know.
But but I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know. I've been through it. I can tell you that if, like, when you have somebody here, you can reach over to them. You can touch them.
People
you can
who are married do it all the time.
Let's go to the movies. Let's go do this. No, but what I'm saying
she
is...
She has me.
Okay.
I got the kids to keep me busy, right?
All right. Well, I don't know.
We're working. She doesn't have time to go to a movie.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Well, this just started for you today. I mean, I'm not wishing it on you. Not wishing it on you, but all I'm saying is...
I love you, babe. It's going to be good.
Exactly. Just be prepared that it's not going to be smooth. And
it's I think everything in life is a transition. You know, even, you know, being a new mom, that'll be a transition. But, you know, I watched Tosca. She did a phenomenal job. You know, it's
amazing.
You have
amazing
support of your family and friends. Good.
Well, we wish you a lot of success, guys.
Thank
you. I mean, you're very, very fascinating. And what you've done is tremendous. I think this is a great idea. I wish Joni were able to be on the show. Is she out of town or
something? She's in Massachusetts.
She lives in Massachusetts, so she comes back and forth.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you're invited back anytime.
Thank you.
Folks.
We'd love to come back.
That would be
great.
Yeah,
and tell us more about your movies and everything. I mean, you probably will have a couple more in the can, you know.
Yeah.
And, well, salute, you know, I mean, I salute all the three of you for actually putting something like this together. I mean,
thanks.
Not just anybody could, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was,
I mean, it's like it's a great team.
It's also just so relevant now of what's going on with women in entertainment and just, you know, all of the stories and things that we've heard. And I can only imagine the experiences you ladies have shared creating content for women, working with women in very much of a man's world and not listening to them telling you no, which is everything I'm all about, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
that
so
doesn't
cool.
That doesn't fly in our
Right. Wow. And you ladies have been doing it, I mean, before it's now, a thing that's actually, being talked about, right.
And typically working for men.
And right. Hopefully more women will do it. I mean, we're go ahead and make a movie and we'll buy it. Let's just make something positive.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. And isn't it amazing, that when you find a niche, when you realize, okay, so I can't be a Netflix, but I can be a Netflix for women, you find that niche, and not only for women, but for women that like romance, and romance novels and stuff. So,
which is a bazillion-dollar industry,
right?
Endless.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, I saw the amount of books. My mom had a whole library full of these books growing up. Yeah. That was like softcore porn for me. That was like my first version of porn as a kid. I'm like, what?
No, but let me ask you this: if Joni is a writer, do you guys have any original content that's not based on novels?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But you plan to.
Down the road in a couple of years, we will start looking at.
Yeah,
original.
When you establish your name more, because you want more familiar titles, so you have.
Oh, this is going to be huge.
Built-in audiences and stuff.
Yeah,
check out passionflix.com, folks. You can't go wrong. And beautiful people, beautiful everything on the website. So it's just.
Is there a social? Is it on? Is there an Instagram?
Yep,
Instagram, Facebook.
And we should really give a shout out to all of our the fans and the subscribers now that have been so supportive, and all of our authors. Everyone has just been the romance
community has been the actors.
Love our actors and everybody has been so supportive. Really,
right.
It has been
now,
a very positive experience.
Now you guys are involved in the actual production of the movie still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I directed
cool
two of them.
Really?
Yeah. Gina's produced them. This last one, we brought on another producer and a director to do the Christmas one.
Yeah.
But the next one, Gina's producing and I'm directing.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's Gina, so Tosca, and Joni, of course, we want to acknowledge her.
Hi, Joni.
Because she was the one that started all this, right?
Mm-hmm. She brought us together.
Right. She ignited the spark, let's say.
100%.
Okay. Well, we salute all of you guys. You're doing great.
Congratulations.
We wish you much success.
So much. We appreciate
and I know
it.
It's not easy getting started, right? Getting people to know about you, getting the subscribers and everything. But you'll get that oomph, that little push, and you'll see you get into a point where it just, like wildfire.
I hope. Pandora's box.
That'll happen for sure.
And there's something for everyone, there really is.
Yeah, there really is. Well, that's very cool. All right, folks, thank you all for joining us. And if you want, after we talked about movies and romance, now you can listen about buds and more buds and more buds.
Yes.
And cannabis and
which
dope and weed.
Which oftentimes goes with romance. Like that's what
it does.
Molly Peckler, Highly Devoted, and Ashley Monta is a canasexual on Instagram about cannabis and romance and love.
She's canasexual, huh?
Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, I want to find out what that is on the next
show. We'll bring her on.
All right, everybody, thank you all for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.